Again, and welcome to True North Church. The church isn't the building, it's the people that congregate inside of it. And the Bible tells us that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives within us. And some days it doesn't feel like that, right? Some days it feels like God is so far from us that even to pray is a bitter challenge to believe that God is who he said he is and will do what he's claimed he'll do. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and it's one of those topics that can be divisive because people have different experiences, and sometimes we use different words differently. You know, the two people can use the same word, but they define it differently. And how many of us have seen two people arguing that they agree with each other, but they're arguing? And a lot of times I think this is what the church looks like. You know, there's this group that says the Spirit's this, we're over here saying the Spirit's that. Hey, you know what? We shouldn't be arguing about it. Are there, you know, I love what Paul says, are there still contentions and divisiveness among you? Are you not still carnal? You know, all this envying and strife that we have in the world today is because we want to satisfy our own desires. We're trying to save ourselves, and that conflicts with everyone else trying to save their self. So we ended up biting and devouring one another. And it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. So today, I've titled this message, "It's Only Awkward If You Make It Awkward." How many of us have had an awkward experience with a fellow believer? Anyone? Few people. I remember when Grace was little, a little girl, she would, like, the worship music, she felt it through and through. She'd be up front, you know, she loved the dresses that she could twirl and they would billow out. And she would just, she'd be in it, right? Which, you know, we see a little kid and, like, that's normal, right? We don't think anything of that. Well, we put her in some dance classes because she loved dancing so much, and we're talking to her teacher one day, and she's talking about she's been looking for an apartment, and she's on this apartment search, and that when she goes into these places, she dances around them because that's where she feels one with God, and that's how she tells if the Spirit's off in the apartment. Oh, wow, look what time it is. Gotta go. You know, so, I mean, some people, they'll say some things, and you're like, what? You know, that just sounds crazy, man. But, you know, when we're talking about spiritual things, we are talking about things that are beyond our sight. And it's so easy for us to just come to a place where we expect what we've experienced. So instead of expecting God to do what he'll do, we just expect for it always be the way it's always been. And I don't think that's what the Bible tells at all. If I can get the DJ to dim the lights, I'd like to do a little experiment for you. And so we've come together, and the verse that we're focusing on is that John, 4:24 or 7:24, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And so what does that look like this morning? So I want to try something, and so you guys can just think about worshiping God, talk to him, pray, you know, and I'm just going to play a little melody. Be like when you eat out at the fancy restaurant and they walk around and they play music for you. How many people feel music? Put your hand up if you feel music when it's playing. Good mix. Some people don't. I don't understand those people. What happens? But for most of us, you know, just it's four chords. It's a melody that's, you know, it's a pattern that's been played thousands and thousands of times. There's no new thing under the sun, right? But yet God calls us to sing a new song. How many people felt like you wanted to sing along to that melody? Anybody? Just, it's in you, right? Now, how many people feel like God told you to sing along to that song? Anybody? You know, when we start saying, God told me, it gets awkward, right? It can, because God told me it's a weird thing. And, you know, a lot of times we have to work our ways through this, because being spiritual people, having our eyes open to the Spirit of God, is a whole new thing. There's something living within us that brings conviction of sin, that brings illumination to, you know, guilt, and also he gives us our calling. It gives us our calling. Does everybody know what their calling is? Music can be memorized to such a degree that it doesn't stir the spirit. It doesn't awaken the imagination of the soul, and it doesn't move us. You know, we've all watched American Idol, where somebody will get up there and professionally, technically, nail it. They hit all the right notes. There's nothing flat, nothing sharp. And the judges will say, it didn't connect for me emotionally. There was a disconnect there. Like, you're saying the words, but it didn't feel like you meant them, or like they were attached to you. And so what we can see in our worship in spirit and truth is that our worship can become detached from our heart. That we can give God lip service. And we can be okay with that for days, for months, for years. And in fact, I would say if you look at the church in America over the past 200 years, you'll see that that is their default place of landing. Complacency. Going through the motions. Just getting the job done. You know, it's the grind. It's just, you know, the thing that we've done through repetition over and over and over. And so, just like the dangling participle, you don't have to know what the dangling participle is to know that when you hear a sentence that includes a dangling participle, that we shouldn't let our participles dangle, right? We know that that's not the right way to do it. And it's not that we know that it's wrong because we're English majors and we've studied and studied and studied. It's because we've grown up in this place where we've spoken the English language our whole lives. We've heard it spoken correctly, so when it's not right, we know it's wrong. And I think the same thing happens in our spiritual life, where we can get to a place, you know, where we're not coming to church and things get pretty bad, and then one day it's like we have our breakthrough and we're like, oh my goodness, I turned my back on the Lord. And you come back, you're like, oh man, what am I doing? You get back into church and it's like God is just speaking to you. I have spill-proof cups and I spill them. So it's like God shakes you and he wakes you up, and you go into the church, and it's like God's presence. It's like everything that you hear, even walking down the hallway, somebody says something, it's like God's speaking to you, and he's setting you free, and you see the wonderful things he's doing, and you worship, because that's the place. It's like God's all over. God's amazing, right? And you can't help it, because God is amazing. But we have this propensity to stumble back into the darkness. We have a propensity to just give God lip service, to get away from this vibrant relationship that God wants with us, where he's living inside of us and he's making himself known. And what we do is we end up missing the call of his spirit. Ultimately, God wants to make us look like himself. Which, I mean, meditate on that for a while. God wants us to partake in his divine nature. Now, we have a nature. We were born with it. I mean, sort of. You have to learn the pattern of the world, but it does not take you very long to figure out mine, right? My mom, she tells a story about a little girl biting me on my forehead. And I believe I had taken a toy that was hers. You know, and you know, we learn these things, and we learn how to, as we get older, we learn how to not act like that. But who teaches us not to feel that in our heart? So if we still feel it in our heart, and we're just not acting like a toddler because we've grown up, well, that's hypocrisy. God wants a transformed heart. He doesn't want a hidden heart. He doesn't want you to pretend to be polite. He doesn't want you to put on, you know, a smile and everything's great with Jesus, we're fine. No, you know, he doesn't want you to be fake. God's calling for a genuine relationship. He wants you to worship in spirit and truth. He wants it to be real. He wants it to connect with Him. And He wants us to be right with one another. Acts chapter 2, 38 through 39, Peter says this. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And I asked you last Sunday, if you were here, do you remember the day of your salvation? Do you remember that day when God lets the scales fall off your eyes and you can see who Jesus is and what it is He's offering, and He takes all that guilt and shame and He sets you free, and it's amazing. Repent. Be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. How does God call us to Himself? The Spirit calls. To be a Christian, you have to answer the call of the Spirit. And the Spirit does not quit speaking to us once we're saved. You're good now. Just go to church. We're good. We're done. No. Mm-mm. And a matter of fact, what most of us find out is that, you know, we come to God, and it's like our biggest concern is that I smoke 2 packs a day, and my language was lewd. But, you know, when you start getting conviction of the Holy Spirit, what I was surprised about was that He did not care about those things as much as I did. See, I worried about what was visible, you know, what other people, I need to clean up my life, I need to look better. But then God, you know, He starts convicting me about the way I think about things. Well, that's on the inside, that's a little bit deeper, that's harder. But that's what we want. We want this relationship with the Holy Spirit that's illuminating the darkness within us. Has anybody made it spiritually? You've arrived, you're just like Jesus? Right, and that's what the apostles said, not that we've obtained. You know, we had this hope within us. Someday, God is going to pull back the veil. He's going to separate reality in a way that we didn't even think was possible. And He's just going to step in. And in that second, we'll then be in the presence of God. Our eyes will see God, and we'll be like God is. We won't have a sin nature anymore. We'll be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. But now, while we're here, we are fully, 100% dependent upon the Holy Spirit to get us through every day. To illuminate the darkness, to teach us the things that we need to learn, to make us like Christ. When we, with unveiled faces, behold the glory of God, you know, we move from glory to glory. We're becoming like Him. You know, as I was sitting here this morning thinking about what the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does, it's almost like, you know, it's so elusive. It's like, what's the Holy Spirit doing? I was like, I don't know, you know, you got to learn a bunch of stuff. But, you know, talk to somebody who's a brand new believer, and you'll be surprised the stuff that you just take for granted, that it's axiomatic. You know, like, don't think about negative things. If the Bible says if there's anything good, anything pure, anything lovely, or if there's anything of good report, think about such things. So what do we do when we're faced, when, you know, when you get around somebody and they only think about what is in the news cycle. They only think about the worst case scenario. They only think about what could go wrong and how bad it could be and how much worse it can get. And they just complain, right? And you know, in so many ways, we are not so much different from Israel, wandering through the wilderness on our way to the promised land. We've been set free from the bondage of sin, just like they were slaves in Egypt. We were slaves to sin. We couldn't escape. We couldn't help ourselves. But God comes into our lives, and He makes us free. We don't have to be held in bondage to sin anymore. Now, will we still find ourselves in bondage to sin? Might we struggle for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years with a sin that's just like, God, you know, might we pray about it every day? Might we fast and go to the Lord? And might God say, no, you're good. You're just going to carry that. Yes. Will He give you the grace that you need to carry that? Yeah. Will He give you the authenticity that you need to own it and to apologize for it and to be open with other people that this is just who I am and I'm struggling just like everybody else is struggling, and maybe the Holy Spirit will decide to set me free from this thing? Whatever it is. But, you know, it's surprising when you talk to people Like, what's God working on you in your life now? And a lot of people are like, I don't know. Well, is God ever not working on us? And it's easy for us, I think, to come to a place where the music's become disconnected from the spirit. You know, it's like when you hear an old song, there's something about it. It can become like we can become machine-like. We can sing the song without it ever connecting to the heart. And it's true of everything that we're called to. You know, we're all called to something. And if we think, you know, and some of us, that is ministry. It is ministering. It's doing the work that God is of preaching the gospel. But what would happen if God called everybody to preach the gospel? Right? It wouldn't work too well. It'd be hard to have a church because pastors don't make a lot of money. So, you know, if we're all pastors, then, well, how do you even have a building with electricity? You know, somebody's got to go get a job. And so what we find in life is a lot of times, you know, that profession that we choose, hopefully we didn't pick it because of the salary amount attached to it, but there was something in us that we felt called to it. I've always been a big advocate of telling people that you should always be doing what you love. You should always be doing what you love. And I remember, you know, and this is the thing, like, well, if God's who God says he is, well, then we can give thanks in every circumstance. In fact, the Bible says that this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus, that we rejoice always, that we pray without ceasing, and that we give thanks in all circumstances. Now, giving thanks in every circumstance isn't always easy. And in fact, what I found is that I'm not even aware that I do that unless I get up in the morning and I say, Holy Spirit, God, if you don't show me. I don't usually say Holy Spirit. It just seems weird. I usually just pray to Jesus or God. And, you know, I need your spirit, because if you don't show me the darkness that's in me, I am in bondage to it and completely blind of it. We don't see our own stuff. If we did, why would we keep doing it? Everybody, has anybody got a difficult person in your life? Show of hands, difficult people. Anybody got a difficult person that it's like God won't let you off the hook? He just keeps bringing people into your life. You know, I think it's easy for us to get a myopic view of the church so that we think that church is what we do on Sunday morning. We get up and we came in here and Josh and Paul and whoever's in the sound booth, they did church for us. No. No, 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 right? Church is every breath that you take and every place that your foot treads this week. In fact, for a lot of us, if we're not called into ministry, we are called into some sort of vocation. God, you know, he says, do work with your hands. It's good for you to do work. And I'm one that I've always tried to, you know, like, what do I want to do? And, you know, I wanted to go in the Marine Corps out of high school, so I went and did that. And as a kid, somebody told me that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So I just always believed that whatever I wanted to do, I could do it. And I remember, you know, being asked, like, well, how'd you learn to do so many things? Like, I never believed I couldn't. Does this mean you should do everything? No, that's a bad idea. I can speak from experience on that. But we need the Holy Spirit, because I could stand up here and preach against the evils of intoxication and gambling. But what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Who brings conviction? Is it Travis? No, it's not Travis. It's not Paul. It's the Word of God. So you don't want to hear me up here speaking. You want to hear God speaking through me. And that's not to say I speak for God. God speaks for himself. And we all testify to that we have the Holy Spirit living within us, directing us, guiding us, shaping us, calling us. He's always calling. And what do we do with that calling? Not talking about salvation now. He calls us to himself. Jesus is lifted up. We see Jesus. We're blown away. We come to him. Then what? Does God still call us? I think he does. Evan Roberts is credited with the Welsh Revival of 1902, 1904, somewhere in there. And he tells a story about a girl named Catherine, I think it was, or something like that. But they're having this meeting and you know, people are just coming under the conviction of God. They're weeping. They're moved confessing guilt. They're getting up and giving testimonies of what God said to them, how God's moved in them. And there's this girl there, and she tells him that, you know, I'm not feeling it. And he asks her, he says, well, is there anything that the Holy Spirit's telling you to do that you said no? Are you saying no to the Holy Spirit? Can we say no to the Holy Spirit? Has anybody ever done it? Show of hands. Have you ever said no to the Holy Spirit? Where does that leave you? You know, I think about Nebuchadnezzar, right? He was like a wild beast. In his pride, he wouldn't bow the knee to God, so God bent his knee. And he went crazy in the head, and he lived outside in the wilderness and for 7 years. And then at the end of 7 years, he wakes up one day with a taste of grass and dirt in his mouth, covered with dew and nasty from being outside for 7 years, eating like a wild animal. And that's like Israel in the wilderness. Man, there were some complainers. Why'd you bring us out here, Moses? Why this? Why that? And here God is trying to get us to trust him. And all we do is complain, complain, complain. You know, it's possible that a lot of us, we could be praying for, God, you know, I want to break through spiritually. And so what's God do? Oh, you want to break through? Let me send you somebody that's difficult. And what do? Ooh, yeah, I'm gonna step around you and all your mess because I don't want to get entangled in that because I don't know you, but I know you, right? But what if that person's God's plan? You know, do we consult with God about our lives? Are we saying, Holy Spirit, God, I want to know. I don't want to miss anything. I want to be who you've created me to be, and I want the church to look like it should because I am where you put me. And so, you know, this is giving. This is playing music. Whatever you're called to do it with your whole heart as though you're doing it for God and not for man. The interesting story about that young lady who felt like God was, you know, and you might want to talk to Josh before you feel like God told you to stand up and sing a song. We try not to be completely unorganized, right? We're not just randomly waiting for somebody to get inspired by God and to give us a message. You know, Paul prays and works all week. We're organized. We try to have order because God is a God of order. But we can't put God in a box and say, God, this is how we do church, and it's always going to look this way. Lead us, guide us, show us, teach us, transform us. We're called to worship in spirit and truth, and it looks different to different people because we're all at different stages in our journey. But it's for everyone. Everyone is called. Some say no, some resist. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. And then down to verse 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You know, why is the Holy Spirit calling you to whatever it is he's calling you to do, whether it's to confess a sin, whether it maybe it's to call somebody up who they should rightly apologize to you, but God's calling you to be the bigger person. Love covers a multitude of sins, and we're all kind of dysfunctional in our own journey, and the last thing we need is for the church to be kind of like cutting judgmental glances toward one another about what other people are doing. You've got one person to worry about. And if you can get your life right with God and you can get in tune with the Holy Spirit, we can see the church become what God wants it to be, or we can keep trying to make it be what we want it to be. But if we're going to be the church that God's calling us to be, it starts with that going into your prayer closet, getting alone with God, getting into the Word of God. If you're not hungry and thirsty for the Word of God, ask him to give it to you. Lord, give me a hunger and a thirst for your Word, like I need it more than I need to get up and eat a steak with eggs in the morning, more than I need, you know, bacon. That's the truth that the gospel presents to us, but it's easy to get to a complacency where we haven't cracked open a Bible in years because we've heard it. And we doubt that it can be different to us. But when we come to it as something living and active that God wants to use to transform us from the inside out, well, then God will start opening up our understanding. He'll give us insight and wisdom, and we can question, like, who is the Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy Spirit? But at some point in your Christian journey, there's a lot of things that you don't do anymore that when you meet a new believer, you're like, oh, wow, was I like you when I started out? So the Holy Spirit's obviously working in your life and transforming you and making you somebody that you weren't. But it takes time. And it's so easy to get this small idea of church, that church is just what we do on Sunday mornings. If you have a job and you work with other people, does that belong to God still? Is everything that you own God's? Are you yourself God's? So no matter where you go in life, it's ministry. God has something for you to do down at the hardware store, down at, you know, the auto mechanics, doctors, lawyer, all these things that it takes for us to exist. Carpenters, plumbers. It's all part of God's church. And he gives each one of us different gifts that we can use them for his church. And I pray today that you'll be able to see that the church extends beyond those doors. Wherever you go is where the church is going. And God has a plan for your life, and he wants to use you as a light in the darkness. But that starts with you getting alone with God and finding out what you're calling and purpose. Lord, is there any darkness? Is there any iniquity in me? Lord, what do I need to do? Lord, you know, God, show me myself. And a lot of times he'll bring somebody else into our life because we need that pressure. So quit trying to get away from problem people and start asking God, what's your purpose here, God? How can I? Show me. Teach me. Are we teachable? So there's one church. We are the church at Grand Island. And I pray and hope that you have deep relationships with other believers that maybe go to a different church. Because we're the same church. When people are going to Colorado and they pull in here to get a bite to eat or to stop into a hardware store or to go to Menards, hopefully they bump into our church at Grand Island. Can we see ourselves as inhabiting an entire city? Can we claim the city as God's and take it for him? Does God want us to do that? You know, these are all questions that the Holy Spirit pushes on us and brings conviction of. How big is our view of God, and how big is our view of church? If we want more of God, we have to answer the call of the Holy Spirit. We have to stop telling him no. Why do we tell God no? Has anybody got anything at the tip of your tongue of a reason why we tell God no? Scared. Fear. You know, the Bible says, unless you become like little children, you can no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And a lot of times I miss that little girl that would get up and dance, and she didn't care what people thought about her. And I think as adults, you know, we can care way too much what other people think we sound like or don't sound like or how we present ourselves. If we're going to worship in spirit and truth, it means being genuine and real with God and seeking the testimony of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to our own hearts, to lead us and guide us and to bring people in and out of our lives, to bring us to a place of maturity. You know, the reason that God gives the church pastors, teachers, evangelists, you know, all these things, the reason that God is so that we can be built up in the faith, the reason that the Holy Spirit has given every person that's ever believed in him a gift is so that it can profit everyone, that it can profit the church. It's to build up everyone else. It's not for me to make more money so I have more comfort. It's for everyone else. Consider the needs of others more than you do your own needs. Unless we become like little children, we'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. What is it the little children have that we lack? They're not keeping track of how many times they've been wronged. They're not keeping track of other people's sins. They just exist, man. They just go wherever the Spirit leads them, right? Sometimes it's dangerous because they don't have any discernment. But what's holding the church back from experiencing what God has for us today? You know, the Bible even says that you know, when we think about experiencing everything that God has for us. In 1 Peter, it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as a weaker partner and heirs with you in this gracious gift of life so that nothing hinders your prayers. What's worshiping in spirit and truth? Worshiping in spirit and truth means when you come in here to worship God, to stand in His presence, that you're right with other people. Because that spirit that lives in us lives in everybody else as a family of God. And how can you say you love God if you hate your brother? Spirit and truth, you know, it's what is really real, what's really going on, what do you look like from 9 to 5 throughout the rest of the week, not just Sunday morning. It's the totality of our worship, and the main thing is that we're getting alone with God and that we're saying yes to His Spirit. Let's pray. Father, today as a church, we just come before You, and we want more of You, Lord. We want to see souls saved, and so oftentimes that's contingent upon the excitement of the church. And it's easy for us to get complacent, Lord, to get into a state of mind where we're just doing it on our own, and we're not holding out hope to a lost world that needs something more than everything that it sees already. Lord, let us be a people that shines with a light that magnifies Your name, that comes from You, so that when the world sees us, they'll know there's something different, that we have Your Holy Spirit, and that we are children of the Most High God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, church, I invite you to stand. We're going to sing one last chorus together.